It's really good to be here with you this morning. Good to sense the presence, the Lord's presence here in His house. You worship God and singing praises to Him. It's just so awesome. And I appreciate your pastor so much. We always have a great time. We call one another because we do a lot of jail ministry together. And when we get on the phone, we call something about a problem at the jail or somebody else to be at the jail. And sometimes it should be about 2 minutes and it's an hour or whatever. It's really good. I really appreciate you, Pastor. He's a special, special person in the Lord. I just love and appreciate him so much. And so I appreciate the offer to come here today. And I ask, what is your normal time? And so Jeff said, there is no normal time around here. So I thought, well, praise God, that's good. We can go to three then. Amen. I was here in 2015. It was a Wednesday, and Jeff, I remember Jeff, and I, there wasn't a whole lot here, but it was good. I really enjoyed being here with you. And in fact, I think maybe it was almost the same time we're in right now. I think it was in the spring, early, I think it was either April or May that I was in here before. But anyway, it's good to be here with you. It's good to be with you, and it's good to have my wife here. She doesn't like to speak, or I would have her stand and greet everyone, but she's sort of on the timid side. She doesn't like to do that too much, but that's the way it is. I want to share with you today something that the Lord shared with me some time ago. I was reading the scripture, and I'm not sure what you do here. If you want to write these verses down, please do. I just go from, I use a lot of scripture. Somebody told me recently, he said, Pastor, you really use a lot of scripture. And I said, and what else should I use? Amen. I'm not sure what else I should use other than scripture. It's sort of comical. But anyway, if you want to write this down, I'm going to be taking from one area to another on this particular topic. And I guess I've got a title to it, that Jesus rearranged the furniture in His house. Jesus rearranged the furniture in His house. Matthew 21 and 12, if you want to go there, we'll start there. And I was reading this, studying this one day in devotions, and the Lord took me into this message and into areas that I had honestly never thought about at all. And so that scripture verse says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Now, I've ministered on that many times, but I wasn't ready for what the Lord was going to show me here. And what He showed me was, in this same verse of Scripture, He cut everything out pretty much. It was Jesus went into the temple of God and overturned the tables and the seats. And that's what He stopped me at. Overturned the tables and the seats. So I started thinking about this and saying, well, Lord, what are you saying or what are you doing here? And I believe Jesus was saying, this is my Father's house. I'm His son, and I'm in charge. Now, you got to think that one through, because that's pretty powerful to see what He has done, what He's saying. So I got to thinking about, well, what was on the tables? He went in the temple, and He overturned the tables and the seat. So my mind went into that area thinking about that, and I thought, well, what was on the tables? What was on the tables in that temple at that particular time? Well, the Word of God says that it was money or mammon was on the table, is what He says there in verse 12. And then got to think it certainly wasn't what Jesus wanted on the table in his house, because he upset the tables. And he didn't only upset the tables, he upset the seats of those that sold doves. I got to thinking about this Matthew 6:24 that we've read about, and I'm sure your preacher, your pastor has ministered on this. And it says in 6:24 Matthew, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, we've heard those messages. I've heard them all my Christian life ever since I got saved. I've heard ministers ministering on this, but this isn't what Jesus was saying here at all. It was what was on the table, but there's another message that he had for me, and I think for you as well. So I got to thinking, who was sitting in the seats? He went in and upset the tables and upset the seats. Well, the Word of God says here that those that sold doves was sitting on the seats in this temple. Then I got to thinking, well, who decided of those people sitting in those seats, who decided that they should sit in those seats? Who decided that? And then this thing started coming clear, what the Lord was saying. Jesus is very concerned about what is served on the table in his house. What is served on the table? And who's sitting in the seats? Now you understand there's a seat for every one of you. There's a seat, and we're going to go into some scripture here that shows us there's a seat for every one of us in his house. But he wasn't too happy with what was on the table and who was sitting in the seat. That's all he started this with. He wants to prepare, Jesus wants to prepare what is served on the table, and he wants to select who sits in the seat. It's his house, his Father's house, and he's the Son. He has the authority. He's able to do that. He's able to do that here. He's able to do that wherever. And then I got to thinking about this in Psalm 78 and 19. And the psalmist said, they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness in 2017? Can God do that? Can God prepare, the psalmist said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness of our world? You were praying for the nation, the situations we have in the United States of America, the situations we have. The world is a wilderness right now. How many of you agree? We're living in a wilderness. The United States is a wilderness. Amen? It's a wilderness. So then in Scripture, can God prepare a table? Yes. Yes, he can. Yes, he can prepare a table in any wilderness. In John, in 6:51, Jesus said this about this table and what's served on the table. Jesus said, "I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Has something to do with eating. Has something to do with tables. It has to do with something that is served. And then the Lord brought my mind to a scripture verse that every one of us know. In fact, we were just up in the Poconos yesterday to memorial service, and this verse is just over and over and over, it's quoted. But the Lord brought this verse into this thing about this tables in the seats in Psalms 23 and 5. And here's what it says. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus prepared You. If you look in your Bible, it says you. Him. Not us. Not you. Not me as a pastor. But him. He said, you prepare a table. Jesus Christ is preparing here. And Jesus Christ isn't only preparing. Jesus is serving. Jesus Christ is the host. He prepares it. He's serving it on the table. My mind just went crazy with what he was doing in that temple with all these things about the table. And then I got to thinking, what is he saying here? You prepare a table. Who's the guest at that table? You are. You are. I am. We're the guest at the table. Because read what he says there. He said, you prepare a table before me. Jesus prepared the table before you. Because he knows how to prepare what should be set on the table. We don't really know. After he showed me this, I thought, I don't know what should be put on the table. And I went back to see, and in the table, the table is like a feast. It means a spiritual feast. A spiritual feast. That's what this means. The table, it means a spread. You've gone into restaurants and I've gone into, what a spread, right? What a spread. Well, Jesus is talking about that here. He's talking about the spread. He's talking about preparing for you and for me a spiritual feast. Not what today, not what many put on the table today, but what he wants put on the table, what he prepares. He's the only one to prepare. He's the only one that had the authority to go into that temple. In the name of the Father, he's the only one that could go in there and upset those tables and upset those chairs. And I've laughed because I thought Jesus was, were they still sitting in the chair when you upset it? I don't know. But I sort of chuckled at myself. Well, maybe there was. Maybe they were still occupied. And he said, well, we'll flip this over. But he did flip them, didn't he? Oh, yes, he did. He did flip them. Then I got to thinking about him doing the serving and doing everything that he does. And I want you to go with me to John 21:4, if you would. And Jesus took me to this scripture here of having breakfast on the beach with Jesus. I thought, man, that sounds pretty good because we love the beach. We love to go to Myrtle Beach and go down there. And so that's what this is. But I'm going to just bring this in so you can take a look at this and find out the miraculous things that took place here in John 21. It says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who he was, and he called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Verse 6, he said, then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then jump down to verse 9. It says, when they got there, now listen closely, when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Well, wait, the fish wasn't off the boat yet. The fish was still on the boat. Now listen closely to what he's doing here and what he's preparing. And it goes on, now that verse, it said, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Well, then I got to thinking, where did the charcoal fire come from on a beach? I've been on the beach a lot of times, and I've never had no charcoal fire. And I've never had any fish out there cooking. But the breakfast was waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. I thought, where'd the bread come from? Well, he had to prepare the bread. He had to prepare miraculously the fish. And he had to have the charcoal fire set up some way. I don't know how he did that. But he wants to prepare a spiritual feast. Now let's go on. And then finally in verse 10, he says, bring some of the fish you just caught. He said, the fish here are the fish I caught. And I'm cooking for you. Then he turns around, and I always read that until he showed me this. I always took it that he was cooking the 153 fish on the fire. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. Bring some of the fish, he said finally in verse 10. Jesus said, so Simon Peter went aboard and drug the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. And then Jesus says in verse 12, he said, now come and have some breakfast. And verse 13 says, then Jesus served them. Amazing. Then Jesus served them. Jesus wants to serve you. And I thought, what in the world have we been eating? What have I been eating? I asked myself that question, what have I been eating? I thought, Jesus, are you serving for me? You want to create what you want me to eat, and then you want to serve me? John the Baptist said, me baptize you? You need to baptize me. Well, that's the way I felt when I was reading this and the Lord was opening this up to me to take a look at Jesus Christ himself, Almighty God, wanting to serve you. Well, I don't think any of us would feel worthy. You agree with me? I certainly didn't feel worthy. And I was humbled over what he was showing me, and I never saw that. And Jesus served them the bread and the fish. He wants to serve you. He doesn't want what's on the tables in some churches. He doesn't want what's on the table in some of our lives. He's asking you and asking me, what are you eating? What is on the table, and who's creating what's on the table? Are you allowing me, Jesus would say, are you allowing me to prepare what's on your table every day of your life? When you get up and have devotions in the morning or in the evening or whenever that works in your life, he's saying, are you allowing me to prepare it? I want to prepare what's on the table. You've got to come to him, to Jesus, and allow him to prepare what's put on the table in your life. Not what we're used to eating. So then we have to ask, what in the world are we eating? Well, I talked to a guy yesterday that he's certainly not eating the right food, I can tell you that. He was a pastor, no longer pastoring. But I have to ask, when he turned his back and walked off from me, backslid from God, I said to my wife, I said, you have to wonder what he's eating. I know the man for years. How many of you with me? You better watch what you're eating. That's what Jesus is saying here to all of us. We've got to be careful what we're eating. In Job 36 and 15, and I'm just taking you where the Lord took me, as I was making notes on this scripture that I had never seen in all my years of pastoring, I had never seen this, ever. And in Job 36 and 15, in 16, here's what he says. He said, he delivered the poor in their affliction and opened their ears in oppression. Verse 16 says, indeed he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is said on your table would be full of riches. Is what you are eating and what we are eating as his children, as his family today, Is this happening? Is this what he's setting, what he says in that verse? He said, what is set on your table would be full of riches. Not mammon, but riches, his riches. Because he's mixing this thing up. He's putting this thing, he's preparing it. We've read that. He's preparing this feast in Psalms 23. He's preparing this, which is to be put on the table. He said, I want to prepare it. He said, what is set on your table would be full of riches. We need to ask ourselves, are we allowing him to prepare what's being put on our table, what we are eating every day of our lives? Not just here, not just worship, not just with the pastor preaching or in the study, but when you're at home and you're in devotions, is he preparing what you're eating? Jesus said, and this is what he's saying, it's so awesome to me. He said, if he prepares it, it'll be full of riches. It will make you rich in Jesus Christ. It'll make you into another person. It'll make you into another individual. If he prepares it, it's going to be full of riches. But how many times do we not say, Jesus, prepare my food this morning. I have this time set aside, or this afternoon, or this evening, or whenever. I have this time, Jesus, set aside. I have a set aside to be alone with you. But I'm asking you, Lord, I don't want to eat what I've been eating. I don't want to just keep on doing and being redundant in what I'm doing. I want you to prepare the food for me today and put it on my table, that it will make me rich in you throughout this day. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to us, church. What's set on your table would be full of riches. There's times in my life that I've sat down and I didn't think what I was eating was full of riches. It didn't really lift me up. It didn't do anything much for me that needed to be done. Jesus knew it needed to be done. But here I am ignoring him that wants to prepare this feast in the midst of my enemies. I've got enemies all around me. Every one of us have enemies around us. Satan's trying to take all of us down. And we sort of say, well, I've been doing this and I've been eating this, so I'm going to continue eating this. No, he said, don't do that, or I'll upset your table. I'll rearrange your furniture. I thought back when I got saved, he rearranged the furniture in my house. Did he rearrange the furniture in your house? Oh, yeah. Oh, he knows how to rearrange the furniture, doesn't he? So this is his message to his church. I believe all of us that we can take a look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4, it says, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. Look why. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So when we sit down at that table, we have got to drink from the spiritual rock. That means from him, not what somebody else has put together. That may not even be God's will. Where we're reading may not be God's will. He may have some other place he wants to speak to you and prepare and put it on your table in your life at that particular time. In Luke 22 and 29, he said, I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And I said, oh, Jesus, yes. Here as well as there, but here. In verse 30, he said, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes. He's saying, I want you to eat at my table. And he said, I want to prepare the food that goes on the table. And he said, not only that, he said, I want to feed you. I will serve you. He will serve you. Are we allowing him to serve us, or are we serving ourselves? I think that's his concern. I think that's his concern for all of us. None of us are exempt. And the second thing he brought out, and I must hurry here because I'm going to run out of time. Then he talked about these seats, and he upset the seats. Seats is a place of authority, was operating in that temple, or a ministry is what Jesus is talking about. Gifts that was given to you, to me, every person has a gift, because 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one has received a gift, or a seat, if you will. He said, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So every one of you have a seat, or a gift, or a ministry. Sometimes in visiting and pastoring the number of years that Gene and I have pastored in Philadelphia and in this area, sometimes we think that the gifts are just for certain people that can sing or can speak or preach or play an instrument or whatever. It isn't so. Not so at all. He has given you a gift. He has given you a seat of ministry in this church. It's yours. It's yours. It's such a personal thing. Just hold your hand up for me. Boy, just hold your hand up. You see those fingerprints in your hand? It's very personal, isn't it? It's so personal that God gave you those fingerprints, and he did not give them to one other human being in the face of the whole earth. Nobody else has them. His giftedness is just that personal. Some people say, well, I don't think I can do this. Listen, if he has given you a seat, a gift, and he has said that in Peter, each one has received a gift. Each one of you have received a gift from him, a gift of ministry. You have a seat. There are times in churches that I've talked and I've had people come to me and they've said to me, Pastor, I'm doing something in this church that I don't even want to do. I'm not called to. I said, then why are you doing it? And they said, well, I'm doing it because the pastor's asked me to do it. I said, well, then you need to talk to the pastor. Because God has a seat for you as an individual. It's your seat. Those are your fingerprints. Amen? They're yours. Why did God do that? That's the kind of a personal God that he is. He's so personally connected to you, more than we think. He's connected to you. He knows everything about you, about me. He knows. He knows us. He said, I'm personally, this is my stamp on your life forever. He said, I will always be connected to you. He'll be connected with us in church. He's connected with everybody outside. I see a lot of those prisoners, young people in the prison, and he's connected to them. He made them personally, give them their own personal fingerprints and a lot of other personal things, DNA and so on. It's yours. It's because God's so personally connected with you. But this seat thing is amazing. Because he did not select who would sit in that seat of ministry in that temple. When he went in and upset the table. Now let's read on here because I'm going to have to close. But here's what it is. And go to Acts 13:2 and read with me just a minute here, if you would. Because this is how personally connected he is with you. And what he wants to serve on the table, but in the seat, in this particular church, he has a seat for you of ministry in this church. Everyone that comes in. I was always so excited, and so was Gene, when somebody new came into the church. We were pastoring. I was so excited because I thought, man, wonder what seat they're going to sit in. Amen. I look with excitement when people come. I really did. Gene will tell you, it was exciting to me because I knew when they come in, they had fingerprints too. Amen? Oh, yeah, they did. They had their own DNA, didn't they? Every person has their own DNA. Every person has their own fingerprints. And we could go on and on. But this is how personal this thing is with God. His call on your life and His giftedness in your life is a very personal call. You can say, we've got a wonderful pastor. Now, I know you do, and I love the guy. He's precious to me. He really is. He's a special. He's a friend of mine. He's got a call in his life. But so do you. I said, so do you. Amen? So we can't just say this is for the pastor, his call, and his wife. No, it's on every one of us. Every one of us. So we need to check this out. But let's go to Acts 13:2 and read with me there quickly, if you would, what he's saying here. How personal this thing is. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I, the Holy Spirit, have called them. Now I want to break this thing down because when God showed me this, he broke it down in just the way that I'm sharing with you. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, number one, the Holy Spirit said, no leader, no pastor, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. What did he say, church? He said, now, separate to me. Separate to the pastor. Separate to a leader in a church. No, he's not saying that. He said, separate to me. The Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me, to the Holy Spirit. You and I must be separated to the Holy Spirit. Those people in that temple was not separated to the Holy Spirit. They were doing things contrary to what Jesus wanted in his temple. But this is his temple, and you're his people in his temple. So it changes. He said, now the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me. Who's he going to separate? Well, he'll call you by name. Amen? The Holy Spirit said, separate to me. What you and I, if we talk about the Holy Spirit sometimes, it's like he's wherever the Holy Spirit is. Is he still speaking? Oh, he's still speaking. Is he speaking your name? Oh, he's still speaking your name. He because God wrote this, and it's written by the Holy Spirit forever, but he said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. You and you. You and you. You and you. You and you. He'll call your name. The question that I thought about when the Lord was showing me this, am I listening when he's calling my name? Is he calling? He's calling your name, I can guarantee you. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows everything about you and me. That's not negative. I mean, that's very positive. He knows. He knows us. But he said, separate Barnabas and Saul. And then the fourth thing is, I thought, what in the world? What is he saying here? He said, for the work. For the work. He talks about them, calls them by name. He said, separate them to me, to the Holy Spirit. He said, separate them to me, the Holy Spirit, for the work, for the work, for the ministry in this community, for the community in Bedford County, or if I assume that's where you're living. And then he goes on, and in the fifth scene, he said here, he said, in the fifth thing, he said, to which I, the Holy Spirit, have called them. The Holy Spirit has a call on your life. And Jesus Christ wants you and me and every one of us to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you as an individual. What he's saying to you. What he's saying to me. My wife will tell you, he had a terrible time trying to get me into ministry. I didn't want to get licensed. I didn't want to be a preacher. Can I be honest to God, honest with you? I did not. My wife would tell you that. I mean, I warred and struggled against God. I did not want to be a minister. I didn't want to be credentialed. I did not want that. I'm telling you, God knows my heart right now. That's the way it is. That's what it was. He had to deal with me and deal with me and show me different things until finally I started moving gradually. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. One of the biggest things, the biggest hindrance to me as a sinner, I was a happy camper. I was a happy Christian. I was a happy Christian. Traveled all over the state of Pennsylvania, down into Maryland, New Jersey. I went helping pastors, and I loved helping pastors. I really did. I loved it. And then all of a sudden, the call changed. He said, well, that's the seat you've been in, but now I want you to sit in this seat. Are you with me so far? You may be sitting in a seat of ministry in this church, but God's speaking to you, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and He wants you to move from the seat you're in to a seat of His calling. The victory always comes when you get in the seat that He wants you to sit in. Can you say amen? That's what He's saying here. And in that verse of Scripture says, to which I, read it there in your Bible, to which I, the Holy Spirit, have called them. He has called you. I have not called you. Your pastor cannot call you. I cannot call you. I'm not able to call you. No pastor, no man, no woman is able to call you. Why? Because you're reading the Holy Spirit will call you. He'll call you. He's awesome, isn't he? He is one awesome God. He is one awesome God. To think that He'd be so personally involved in your life and in my life, it blows me away. It really does. Blows me away that He could be so personally involved in my life, in your life. It's just not my life. It's every life. Every life. You are so personally involved and connected with Him. But you got to listen to what He's saying. And I'm going to go on. I'm going to close. Jeremiah 1:4-5. God said, before I shaped, talked about Jeremiah, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, He said, I have holy plans for you, a prophet to the nations. He said, that's what I have in mind for you. He has a plan in mind for you. In Romans 12:4, He said, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. All members cannot sit in the same seat. Could you imagine church and everybody sitting in the same seat? Right, Jeff? This rack and stack. And well, many churches you go in, and that's what it is. People have told me, listen, Pastor, I'm telling you what they've told me. They said, I feel like I have little or no value in the church that they were talking to me in. I said, why is that? And I hear it over and over and over and over again. Because I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, and I'm of little value. Oh, listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because we have a gift in a certain area doesn't mean that we're not equal to everybody in the playing field. Everybody. Is just as important. We have different calls on our lives. Every one of us have a different call, but that doesn't make us one iota better than anybody else. We don't have that. It just can't be, because it's all the Holy Spirit. We're reading what He's saying, and that's the message to me that He's leaving. And then in the final one is Ephesians 4:16. He said, for whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, and it causes growth of the body and edifying of itself in love. Every person. Is called. You're called. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying as we're closing here today. He has a work for you. I think I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. I think one of the, I shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to say it. I think one of the saddest things that's going to happen is when we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of rewards. Now, judgment seat's not to condemn or judge heaven or hell. None of that. You know that. I'm sure your pastor preaches that. It's a judgment seat of rewards. And I know we're going to stand there before the one that wants to prepare the food, put it on the table, prepare riches, and make me rich to walk through this life, and you as well. And we're going to stand alone. My wife and I have been married a long time, love one another, have a wonderful relationship. But I'll tell you one thing we know. She's going to stand alone before him. And I'm going to stand there alone before him. And I think one of the saddest things, if you want to say it that way, is going to be when people in churches everywhere have not discovered their giftedness that Jesus Christ had for them. We just read from his word. It's his writing. It's not me. He wrote that. He's got a gift for you. And rather than finding that gift and pursuing that gift like your pastor has here, your pastor has a call on his life, and he's pursuing that calling. Amen? He pursues that calling in this church. That's what Gene and I have done. We've traveled, pastored 10 years in Philadelphia. We follow the Lord all over the country because of a call. Because I know one day I'm going to stand before him, and I'm going to be judged and rewarded for eternity for how well what I've done with his call on my life. It's personal. But so will you stand there. You will stand there. Every individual. That's, to me, it's sad. Because there's going to be a lot of weeping. Revelation says about God finally wipes the tears from their eyes. I really, before God believed, church, this is what it is. There's going to be a lot of weeping and wailing. When he had this seat for you in this church, this ministry seat for you to fulfill in this church or whatever church, if you're traveling or you go some other place, whatever it is, his call is on your life to fulfill that ministry. And when you stand before him one day at the judgment seat of rewards, you cannot say, I had a good pastor. He had a lovely wife. So-and-so could really sing so good. They had a wonderful voice. They could play that instrument so good. But he says, what about you? Is that making sense what I'm saying? I may never be back here. The pastor may never have me come back and say, you're not coming back preaching that to these people. But I tell you what I'm doing. I bring truth and love. Because Jesus Christ, we can turn around. We're still living. We're still living. And we can turn around. We can listen to what he said here in Acts. Listen to the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to you individually. He's got his eye on you. He's got his eye on me. He's got his eye on us. Stand with me, please, if you would. We're going to pray. I assume that everyone here is a Christian before we pray. If you're not a Christian, make that decision for Jesus today. Make it today. Make the decision. Don't walk out without him. Don't walk out without him. The other day, we have precious friends that live in Florida right now. The daughter, within the last, what's it been, Gene? 2 weeks? A week to 2 weeks. Sandy's daughter and her boyfriend were riding motorcycles and right here in Pennsylvania, and we're going down the highway, and Sandy's daughter went straight into a SUV on her motorcycle. And they just had the funeral this past week. Is that a scare tactic? No. It's the way life is. When she started off in that motorcycle with her boyfriend, him riding his, her riding hers, did that, we don't know, amen? We don't know an hour from now what's going to happen. You don't know. I don't know. They didn't know. So if you're here and you've never made a decision for Jesus, as we pray today, make it. Give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you. Give your heart and your life back to him. That's all he wants. He just wants to bless you and bless me. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for this time. Praise you for these precious people today that be able to come and lift you up, Jesus, in every life, and that they would know how important they are individually to you, how you want to feed us, how you want to prepare. You prepare a spiritual feast for us. Oh, Father, forgive us, Jesus, for thinking we can prepare our own daily feast better than you can prepare it. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name for every one of these individuals that's here today, that you'd prepare and they would permit you beginning today or tomorrow and say, Jesus, I ask you to prepare my table. I'm coming to the table to eat. I'm coming here to eat, but I want to eat what you've prepared for me. I ask you to prepare it, and then you said you want to serve me, and I ask you to prepare it, and then I ask you, Jesus Christ, to serve me. I don't feel worthy for you to serve me, but that's what you say in the Word. That's what you want to do. Serve each one tomorrow and starting every day of our lives, Jesus. And if there's one here, Lord, today that doesn't know you, may they say, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, forgive me of the sin in my life, of sin against you, sin against my fellow man. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. Save my soul today. Write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are the Lamb, and you have a book, and you're the only one that can write in it. We ask you, Jesus, to write my name down in the Book of Life, that it will be there forever and ever and ever. That when one day, when the time comes, we're raptured, or we come out individually, Jesus says, you're going to look in your book, and I want my name to be written there, and I want to serve you. Fill these people, Father, with the Holy Spirit power and with your love. Minister to them. Help them, Lord, to fulfill, find their seat, and fulfill the ministry that you have called them to. Jesus, in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. God bless you, Jeff. Give it to you.